Welcome to the Tap Room exclusive. I'm Dean Zarball. I'm sitting here at Great Lakes Brewing Company with Michael Williams.
Hello.
You are a field education rep for the
Indeed.
Company. What does that entail? What is your job oversee?
So
in that?
The way I kind of see my title, I break it up frequently into the two different parts, field rep and then education rep. So my primary focus here is education, working with our internal staff, kind of training them on the basics of beer, the brewing process.
Okay.
Style history, anything that you could possibly want to know about beer is basically what I do, which is great because I basically just get paid to talk to people about beer all the time, right? Which is amazing.
Thing. That's why I did this.
Indeed, right. I also work with our distributor partners.
Okay.
So, like, for example, we just had a crew drive yesterday with Superior Beverage, our distributor here in Northeast Ohio. So, riding with the rep and talking with him, subtle education about the brand throughout, and obviously selling more beer and all that. I have this program overall called Hop College, which is kind of the umbrella term for this entire education program, internal facing, distributor facing, public facing too. We're kind of, we're behind the scenes right now, but over the summer, we're going to bring some more public facing education programming too. Anybody who wants to learn more about beer. So that's going to be upcoming.
You're a certified Cicerone, is that
Indeed.
Correct?
Yes.
What does that entail? It's like, for lack of a better term, that's like a sommelier for beer.
Indeed.
Okay.
I would say literally that's what it is.
That's literally. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. I don't want to
sure.
put words in people's mouth.
I like that.
And so what, how does one become a Cicerone?
Cicerone. So the Cicerone certification program has been really useful for me. I think it's been useful for a lot of other people in the company too, because, you know, here at Great Lakes, we've been around for 30 years. We have this wealth of expertise and knowledge and all that. And we know a ton, and we tell people we know a ton, and we know it's true, but to have another group who runs a program literally certifying people about that knowledge has been extremely helpful for the work we do.
Oh, I bet.
And that's essentially what Cicerone does, and they also provide a very comprehensive syllabus of a wealth of material and knowledge that you need to know, so you know that you really do have expertise in all these different areas. So beer service, draft line system maintenance and all that, in addition to a vast knowledge of style histories and of course the brewing process and all that stuff too. So that's been really helpful for me to kind of be even more confident in my own knowledge. And then it's making our staff as well. I'm leading a Cicerone, certified Cicerone, which is level 2, and then also certified beer server, which is the level 1 program, the intro level program. I'm leading that group here on campus, so
Nice.
There's a lot of excitement about that right now. We got probably about 10 or a dozen or so certified candidates, and we're going to have a lot more for certified beer server too.
I think that's going to help ignite a lot of people's passion and keep them going, because once you learn as much as you can, once you start learning and going into that rabbit hole of craft beer, I mean, it just keeps going, man. And you just feels good when you talk to somebody about beer and you're like, you're sharing your knowledge with someone and they're sharing their knowledge with you.
Indeed.
There's just something special about that. It's just really fun to talk about. It's, you know, kind of why I did this. What led you to Great Lakes? You kind of worked your way up.
I did.
Kind of like a lot of people here did. A lot of people who start here are still here. So you worked your way up. What was that like? So you came in, what'd you start as?
Yes, here? my path started. I started as some of us have as patron. That was my first role here at Great Lakes.
Right.
So I graduated college. I studied philosophy. So obviously I had no idea what I was doing with my degree. Right. Yeah. But there was a lot of beer involved with it in the past. So there was a natural connection to GLBC. I was actually right across the street at Ignatius. My alma mater for high school. Did a volunteer year there. It was a convenient, roughly 200-second walk over to the brew pub here. We lived right next to campus.
Oh, nice.
And so I got to know everyone very well here. Yeah. I actually had a friend who I worked with a couple summers prior who became a manager here.
Okay.
And, of course, decided I continued to want to go down this. I was actually going to be either a college professor or a high school teacher, and neither of those were working out. There weren't any jobs available. So I started as a busser. I was a busser here. Not exactly the job I thought I would have after my $200,000 education, right?
Yeah.
But it was extremely, extremely helpful for me to, first of all, it got my foot in the door, right?
That's what people don't understand is like, you just get your foot in the door.
Exactly,
It's amazing what
especially
you can do.
Especially in companies like Great Lakes where we're a big, small company, right? It's very easy to just get in the door, and once you're there, you can express your talents and your passions to the people who are running the company, and there's a lot of room for growth. So basically, once I was in the door as a busser, I was like, wait a minute, I love beer. I could probably make something out of this, right?
Yeah.
Became a server, started working with actually Pat Conway, our co-owner, on one of his special projects, a Sumerian beer project, where we recreated a beer from basically about 1800 BC.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, you heard about that, right? Yep. It's a very cool project that we've done. We do a couple events a year surrounding it, brewing on clay pots. I got to brew over dung fire, which was very fun, as they would have done it back in the day, right?
Yep. A friend of mine did a documentary where his uncle is a autistic savant about beer cans, and actually he did I think he did something around Sumerian Day with you guys a few years ago. You guys helped him out. His name's Lance Rice. He's an agoraphobe. This brewery, everybody's opened their doors to him, and he's been on a cross-country brewing tour.
Yes, I remember
him.
Yep.
Great Lakes was such a good piece of that, and it was one of the first people to really help him out. And that was
awesome.
You guys,
I do remember
just do a great job with the community and passing along that beer knowledge and everything. This is your 30th anniversary.
Indeed.
You guys have brought Holy Moses back.
Yes.
Not just as a seasonal, as a year round brew this year.
Indeed.
What was the inspiration behind doing that, bringing that one back above all else?
Sure. So a couple of different, reasons had to bring this beer back. So, as I'm sure you're familiar too with Heinen's and all that, crowded marketplace, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Core brands, year-round brands for us are very, very important right now. There are beers that are always there and available for people to pick up. So you got someone who, the way I kind of see it is, and the way I've described it to like my tour guests and people like that are, we have these beers. We certainly have our exciting, fun seasonals and limited run beers, beers that come from Brewhouse Number One. But those core beers, the seven that we have now, are the staples that are always there. That's what keeps the brewery afloat and all that. And they're always, I mean, if you love one of these beers, if you love Holy Moses, you love Elliot Ness, that's my personal favorite
right
now.
I love Elliot Ness, yeah.
You know it's always going to be there and available to buy, right? So that's a win-win for everyone right there, right? So focusing more on those year-round core brands right there is really important. So plugging that into the lineup was kind of a no-brainer. Also, kind of a no-brainer, we just didn't have a wheat-focused beer in the year-round portfolio. And that's obviously a big segment. So we were kind of filling a gap right there for the consumers we can reach out to, right? My wife's sister, not normally a beer drinker too much, turntable pilsner, which is, you know, is that's about as light as it gets.
Right.
She makes the scrunched up face when she sips that. But Holy Moses works perfectly for her, a little the citrus and the spice blend and all that, right? So that right there was proof to me. It was like, great call bringing Holy Moses back. And then also it's just, people love this beer. There were Facebook groups and outer markets too saying you must bring this beer back. So we were like, okay, we'll bring it back.
Well,
and
there's,
we did.
There's like a legend. It's like a legendary beer around Cleveland.
Indeed.
How'd that come about? What was, I mean, obviously the beer's phenomenal, but where was this birthed from? Do you know?
So I've been here for about 5 years, and when I came into the company, and actually I had just gotten back from Boston in, 2011. So at that point, Moses was already back down to, I think it was seasonal, and then it got plugged into that spring variety pack. So the buzz was already there. I didn't personally experience the rise of Moses' popularity, but when I got back to town, I knew that everyone.
Right.
First, I think, as far as I've inferred, obviously, if you have Cleveland in the title of your beer, that's going to help a lot. I think that just the quality of the beer, the style that it is, the fact that it's been around for a long time, and it's one of our oldest recipes. I saw when we were out in the field yesterday for this crew drive, I was out in Geneva, very far
away.
Oh, wow. Almost Pennsylvania. Yep.
Yeah.
And I saw some old school signs, and there was a sign from 2005 that said, Holy Moses, now year round. So it's been an important beer for us for quite a long time.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I really think it's that Cleveland connection. You know how we love
named
we love
after
our
Moses,
city,
Cleveland.
Yep.
You know, and part of me, every time I hear just the name Moses Cleveland, I hear that Cleveland tourism video.
Oh yeah,
that Mike Polk did years and years ago. I always hear that as the founder of Cleveland.
Yep,
he invented Cleveland. So Great Lakes started 30 years ago. In 88 was September-ish.
September
6th. Mm-hmm. What were some of the first beers that were brewed and today, like what do you have going today? So how many were brewed first, and how many are brewed today?
There were two at the beginning: Dortmunder Gold and Elliot Ness, okay. Amber Lager. Dortmunder, if you don't know the story, that was originally called the Heisman. John Heisman was born on Bridge, probably around West 30th or so.
Okay.
So, and at the time when we were founded, Ohio City was not what it is today. It was very rough and tumble and all that. So we wanted to highlight a local hero, basically. Yeah. Got, you know, cease and desist letter and all that kind of stuff. So Dortmunder Gold, that's named for the style. And then it also won our first medal at Great American Beer Festival. Mm-hmm. So big time stuff in 1990. Elliot Ness was actually, I believe Ness was actually the first one we brewed. And there's this weird story behind it where we couldn't open unless we had our beer tasted by somebody, which is like the chicken and the egg there, right? So we actually got to go to Siebel, which is this beer institute in Chicago. I believe it was Siebel, and they brewed the beer for us. Our recipe, tasted it, we got certified, and then we could then brew the beer that they had to taste first. Whatever. I don't know how it worked. It was weird. It was
a fun process, but we got Elliot Ness.
Indeed. So those are the first two brews, and hey, look at that. They're still here today, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not many places can say that.
Exactly, yeah. Especially in an IPA-dominated market, having two lagers like that being two of our core brands is huge. Today, we've gotten from those humble first two beers to, we have, hundreds of recipes. I think we have 60 or 70 different pub brews done on Brewhouse Number One each year. We have a small batch pilot system across the street. I'm not sure if the brewers talked about that, right? But we have usually have two, maybe even three of those on tap at any one time.
Okay.
11 seasonals this year, and then the aforementioned seven core beers. Also those canned beers too.
Yeah, so you guys just started doing the canning, put Turntable, Blonde Lightkeeper, which was a great choice to put that one in cans too.
Absolutely.
Because that was a good beer that, I think that was another one that was kind of in like a spring variety pack something like that. Mm-hmm. And now I've noticed a lot of people going for it. Now they can get it in a six pack, just grabbing it and going. Yep. And then Rally Drum, of course, 16
no
ounce.
No brainer for us here in Cleveland.
As soon as that hit the market, I grabbed one immediately. That's my summer baseball beer.
Yep.
I love that stuff. You mentioned Elliot Ness. There's actually a nice history with Great Lakes and Elliot Ness. There's a story that I've heard that Elliot Ness used to drink at this location back before it was Great Lakes.
Market Street Tavern.
Market Street Tavern.
Yep.
And this is obviously after Prohibition. I've heard something happened when he was here drinking one day. What is this story?
Okay, so this is one of those legends. The truth of it, we are not sure. But the story, we actually inherited this story from the Market Street Tavern when it was open in the 80s. We kind of, you know, we inhabited that building after they closed, right? And the bullet holes, there are bullet holes in our main tap room with that Tiger Mahogany bar that dates from the turn of the century. And the Market Street Tavern had this same legend that Ness may have been shot at in this bar, right? Because he was busting bootleggers. Right. He had plenty of enemies.
Had a history.
Famously busted Capone in Chicago and all that. He was the public safety director in Cleveland too. Yeah. So obviously some people did not like him very much.
Right.
So, and he was known for his beer drinking, ironic because he was a prohibition agent and all that. Right. So he was drinking at the bar. We're pretty certain that the bullets were not shot by him. And Dan's mother was actually Ness's stenographer back in the day.
That's what I heard. Okay.
I couldn't remember
if it was their mom or their grandmother, and I didn't want to get it wrong when I said it. So I knew
Margaret
there was
Conway.
A family connection to the Ness.
So what we tell people, basically, the way I've been phrasing it lately, is people will come into the bar. They know about the bullet holes. Everyone knows about the bullet holes. They will ask about the bullet holes. We will tell them, we have no idea if it's true or not. And then they will buy beer from us, and they're happy. So that's perfectly fine. It doesn't matter if it's true. They're here, and it all works out, right?
It's a fun story.
You know,
Elliot Ness has, like, a rich history here in Cleveland. A lot, lot goes involved with him, and I love that you guys named the beer after him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just such a great idea. It was the first craft beer I ever drank.
Oh, very good.
I've been bringing that up. I think on every interview through this, hey, but this was one of my, I love the malt. I love that.
Yep.
I love that profile.
Underappreciated right now.
Absolutely. Yep. Very much
nice
underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you wanted to get out, from Great Lakes, before we get going?
I think we're good, man. We covered a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate. Yeah. I do too. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your time. That'll do it for our Great Lakes Brewing Company feature. You can follow them on Twitter at GLBC_Cleveland. Find them on Facebook, facebook.com/Great Lakes Brewing Company. And thank you all for listening. Have a good night.